Well, moving on to Washington, Gary Cohn, President Trump's chief economic advisor, is the latest key figure to leave the White House. The wave of major departures has raised concerns of a coming brain drain in the West Wing. And joining me now from New York is Jonathan Lemire, White House reporter for the Associated Press. Jonathan, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Magna. Thanks for having me.
So a brain drain. Tell me more about what people are talking about.
Well, Gary Cohn, who was the president's chief economic advisor, is just the latest senior staffer to leave this White House. The Brookings Institution, a think tank based in Washington, has a study where they track senior-level staff departure. The analysis there is that the Trump departure rate is nearly 40%, which is more than double any other administration has had during the same time in their term. And there is, you know, we have seen this pace seem to accelerate in recent weeks. Last week, of course, Hope Hicks, who was the president's, not just his communications director, but also in many ways his closest ally and advisor, you know, someone who is rarely more than a shout away from the Oval Office, someone who has been there since the very, very beginning of his campaign. She left. And now we have Gary Cohn also leave. You know, he's someone who has had a very up and down arc in the Trump White House, nearly resigning last summer over after the racial violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. He was very upset with the president, saying there was blame on both sides of that white supremacist march and the resulting death, you know, to someone who then went back up in the president's eyes after he successfully shepherded the tax cut late last year. And in fact, just a few weeks ago, when Chief of Staff John Kelly seemed like he might be on the way out, Gary Cohn was even floated as a replacement. But yet here we are, just a couple weeks later, he's leaving after disagreeing with the president's policy on tariffs.
Right. And so there's also been kind of people are wondering about H.R. McMaster as National Security Advisor and how long he might hang on. What do we know about that?
Yes, H.R. McMaster has been someone who has survived a number of attacks over the months. Members of the right wing, sort of particularly conservatives, sort of the fringes of the conservative movement, have very publicly targeted him. There was a wave last summer suggesting that he was not sufficiently supportive of Israel, and that was one reason they wanted him out. We do know that H.R. McMaster at times has clashed with the president over policy. He and Defense Secretary Mattis do not always see eye to eye. To this point, McMaster is still in the White House. He is still in his position. But yes, there are a number of aides in the building who think he could be the next to go. And it also speaks to just a larger point of not only is morale really low in the building right now with this flood of departures with a Russia probe hanging overhead, but there's also real concern about what the difficulties this administration has had to find replacements.
Right.
They're having trouble bringing people into the administration.
Right. I mean, in your reporting, multiple aides who spoke to you on conditions of anonymity basically said that they were thinking about leaving but didn't have a clue whom the administration could find to fill their roles.
That's right. I mean, this is, first of all, the administration has been understaffed from the get-go. Some of that is because of turmoil during the transition. You might recall Chris Christie was actually in charge of the transition until the president-elect actually won, and then suddenly the keys were turned over to Mike Pence. So that sort of put them behind the eight ball. They've had trouble bringing people in who did not want to perhaps work for President Trump, and as the months have gone on, who have not wanted the legal exposure of coming into this White House while it is under such investigation. And within the White House, the president has refused to consider a lot of people who opposed him, Republicans with significant establishment credentials he doesn't want in because they didn't back him during the primaries or during the general election. So they've had real trouble finding qualified people to come in. Senior staffers, other aides, key aides in the White House who have stayed, you know, out of a sense of loyalty to country, even if not always the president himself, you know, even they are wondering now how much longer they can hang on.
Mm-hmm. So what effect is this having on the actual functioning of the White House? Because you cite an example, Johnny DiStefano, who oversees the following White House offices: personnel, public liaison, political affairs, and intergovernmental affairs. One person looking over four offices, highly unusual to say the least. I mean, what effect is that having on how the White House is actually able to function in its daily duties?
Mick Mulvaney, the budget director, also has a couple of different jobs
right now.
Yes, it is difficult. There are people who are overwhelmed, who can't give their full attention to one job because they're doing several. And on the lack of staffing combined with the often mixed messaging from the Oval Office has led to this administration having a hard time getting its policy in place. They have had, yes, a few successes, the tax cut chief among them, but a number of other things have stalled out, have just not gone anywhere. We'll see if the president is able to push forward the tariff thing later this week.
Okay. And do we know how the president feels about all of this? Because, you know, you quote him as having said that he likes conflict and he knows that he's a tough boss to work for.
This is a president who we routinely have to fact check. We do not need to fact check the statement, "I like conflict." I think we all recognize that that is true. And that has been his leadership style throughout, from his business career to the campaign to the White House, where he likes to have aides with differing viewpoints. He likes to kind of let them have at it. And then he then will make a decision based off of that disagreement, which side he buys. We saw him yesterday in the White House talk about how he doesn't mind turnover, that he's insisting that they will have good people come in, that he has no shortage of qualified applicants. That's not necessarily true, as our reporting indicates. Right now he is, of course, publicly is saying this is okay. He doesn't mind this, if you will, team of rivals. But the evidence is in the policy, and we're not seeing much of it, and that's in part because of the constant staff turnover.
Right. I mean, and the president did sort of, in a tongue-in-cheek way, perhaps acknowledge the conflict or troubles in the White House at the gridiron dinner on Saturday. I mean, in your reporting, you remind us that he compared the Oval Office job to The Apprentice, and he said, "In one job, I had to manage a cutthroat cast of characters desperate for TV time, totally unprepared for their roles and their jobs, and each week afraid of having their blank fired. And the other job, I was the host of a smash television hit." Okay, so good for a laugh, but is it good for the country necessarily, Jonathan?
Perhaps not. Yes, we are seeing a similar turnover rate to The Apprentice, where it seems like a key cast member leaves every week. It's hard for any White House to function with that level of instability, to not know who is doing what, to not have experienced veteran people in there managing specific portfolios. This is something that the Chief of Staff Kelly had tried to get a handle on in recent months. I think some progress has made, but there's still friction in the building. Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump still have somewhat ill-defined roles.
Jonathan, I got to take it back from you because the list could go on. Jonathan LeMire, White House reporter for the Associated Press, thank you so much. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.